Today on Real Radio.
God looks at you and he loves you. But there's a big problem. God is absolutely holy. He's not a human. He's spirit. And he created us, the Bible says. And he wants you with him, but there's a big problem. There's a void, there's a Grand Canyon, and it's filled with sin.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We've been looking at chapter 5 and verses 16 through 19, where Paul writes about reconciliation and describes the new life believers now have with their Creator, who is holy and cannot know sin. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his mini-series called, well, quite simply, Get a Life.
What does it mean to have life? Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you may have not only life, but abundant, overflowing life. What does he mean by that? And what is Paul meaning when he speaks to us today about this life that he's given the Christian, the real Bible-believing Christian, mind you? A lot of us have had the influence of people who name the name of Christianity, but there's not much Christian living in their life. And the church at this hour suffers because there are people who say they're Christians and, in fact, are not, and it's often displayed in their conduct. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a transformed life that we looked at last week where, remember, the old things of our lives have been washed away, removed. And we studied last week how we've been given a new life and what that means. But by way of context, let's look again at verse 16. Look with me. Therefore, he says, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. We know who Jesus is now. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Here we go. Now, all things are of God. Wow. Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us, the Christian, the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing, no longer tallying, no longer keeping record of their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. This is an amazing, deep declaration. We've been looking in these few verses, the fact in our first study that regarding getting a new life, that Jesus Christ changed our minds as Christian. We do not know people or even Jesus any longer according to our earthly opinions. The Christian has had a transformation regarding the person of Jesus Christ. We were once unbelievers. We once maybe even used Jesus' name as a curse word. And an amazing thing happened. As I've been arguing with you guys in a good way, arguing, presenting, fighting for this reason, that it's not the 10.0 earthquake, it's not a nuclear bomb, it's not a solar flare, that's the most powerful thing in the universe, not at all. Not when it comes to someone's mind being changed and their opinion being changed about Jesus Christ and about people. God does that. The second thing we saw last week was in verse 17 about getting a new life, and that is that Jesus Christ has changed our lives. He changes our lives, and all of that old life has been removed and washed away. It's the most amazing thing. How do we know? Because now we fight not only against the old flesh and the old desires, but the fight is within us. Before, we used to just go with whatever we felt or thought. And now as a Christian, one of the great positive influences in our lives is the Holy Spirit saying, I own you, I love you, and I've changed your mind, and I've changed the very fact of your own life. You are Jack, but now you are redeemed. And the proof of it is, you have, as it were, two natures now at war. The old Jack and the old memories, and the new Jack and the new hope. And it's a remarkable truth. It's a remarkable power. And then thirdly, now we come to our study, the final installment today, and that is Jesus Christ has changed everything. Everything. What do we mean by that? Well, look with me in verse 18. Now, all things are of God. You ought to circle that. Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What are we talking about? What does this mean? That we talk about everything comes through Jesus Christ. Will you write that down? Everything comes through Jesus Christ. And church, I want you to think about this for a second. Look at the front end of this verse. Now, all things are of God. Will you just mark that down? You need to mark that down. You got to date that. You got to put your initial next to that. We're all familiar with the verse that says in Romans that all things work together for good, right? To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. We're all familiar with that. That God is working in your life to bring everything, listen, everything that happens in your life, he is engineering that for your good. Here's the problem with you and I. We disagree with God's definition of what good is. We want to argue with him about this. We think we know better. Our emotions, let's be honest, our emotions absolutely with authority think that they know more than God does. Our emotions wage war against God. This verse, opening front end of this verse, all things are of God, it means that God is working in every situation of every person's life. And I mean every person. What am I saying? Non-believer and believer, Christian, non-Christian, faith-filled individual, the atheist. There's a lot of great news right now happening in America with atheists. I'm finding it incredibly entertaining. Atheists feel so left out all the time because they don't have a God, you know. So they got to drum stuff up, so they're making monuments to themselves. They've erected these things made out of granite that says, I don't believe in God. You can buy them, put it out in my front yard, I don't believe in God. Like, who cares if you don't believe in God or not? Isn't that funny? If God doesn't exist, why don't you just be quiet about it? See, that very same logic in the reverse is because God exists, we can't shut up about it. If you don't have anything to talk about, then don't talk about it. It's kind of funny. Their actions betray their declaration. You can look this up online. There's a group that got together and they sued God, an atheist group. How do you sue God? Well, the first struggle you have as an atheist is to sue a God that you believe doesn't exist. How do you do that? You've got to believe he exists for you to sue him. And they were getting a litany of all the things they have against him. How could you have anything against him when you don't believe he exists? I mean, that's absolutely unbelievable. I don't believe in God because, and they'll give the reason why, and it turns out that they're angry, they don't like the way things turned out, and they don't approve with the way the world is going, and so they're angry at God for allowing this to happen, and so they say, we don't believe in him. You don't believe in the God you're mad at. It's brilliant. It's very entertaining. I just love it. When the Bible says that God is behind these things, it even goes so far to say that in the end, he will use the wrath of man to bring glory to his name. Amen. What does that mean? I don't know. It just means in the end, those who don't believe in God are going to say, doggone, was I wrong. I should have paid more attention. Absolutely remarkable. But in a very near and dear sense, the opening front end of that verse, now all things are of God, that means God is presiding over the affairs of your life, just like Ben Franklin said. It's an amazing truth. This is a powerful thing to announce. It's painful and yet joyful. Last week, I think she was 13 years old. We had a young girl in this church. She went to our junior high camp. And she gave her heart to the Lord at junior high camp. And at junior high camp last week, she wound up getting baptized because it was at the beach. And she expressed to her friends that it was their witness that caused her to have to consider Jesus Christ and to give her heart to Christ. That's great news. Okay, that was just like 8 or 9 days ago, I think. And this weekend, she was in an ATV accident and was tragically killed. And we're reaching out to the parents now and those that are involved. And this happened in another state, and her body's en route here. And the parents, they were not on the vacation with, she was with another family, and so they received this news. Look, on one side, it's an absolute horrific thing to hear. Of course it is. God gave us the love of life. That's normal. But on this side, those parents who love Jesus are going to see their daughter in eternity forever. And quite frankly, the Bible makes it very clear, she is quite happy right now. If given the opportunity, she wouldn't come back. She'll wait for her parents. She'll wait for us. But it's far better where she is right now. Think about that. And think about how just in a matter of days, her view was changed, her mind was changed, her life was changed, everything changed. And she's in glory. Listen, God knows. Did you know that you and I are going to die the exact day that God has prescribed? Did you know what the Bible teaches? The Bible says that our days are numbered. Your day and my day is numbered. Only God knows the day. You can't change that, by the way. You can go through all of your mental gymnastics. What if I go jump off the building? God knew in eternity that you would be dumb enough to go jump off the building. And if you don't die that day, that's a real bummer. You see what I'm saying? He knows. The Bible says he knows. My daughter, I told my daughter the other day, I said, hey, if I were to rent one of those big kayaks, you've seen those big kayaks? They're very cool. I think you can even steer them with pedals. They have a rudder in the back, and you can. They're two-man. They're kind of beefy. You can't flip them over. They're very cool. My daughter, who's kind of adventurous, Ashley, my youngest, I said, hey, we're going to go on vacation soon. I'm thinking about when we go, I'm going to rent this kayak. Will you do it with me? Because it's a two-man thing. I don't do it by myself. And she, I knew she was going to say, absolutely. You know what she said? She said, Dad, I'm sure. I've watched Shark Week for 3 years now. So, she goes, I'm not going in that water. I go, we're going to be in the harbor. We're going to be in the bay. She said, do you know that some sharks have been able to swim up a river 80 miles and get their victim? And I said, come on. I'm going to rent this thing, and you got to do this. And she goes, no, that shark would knock over, it can come up, knock it over, and it could eat you. And I said, look, so our days are numbered. Our days are numbered. You're going to, look, you might say, I'm not going to get in the kayak. Not going to do it. And I paddle out into the ocean, and a shark decides to jump on shore and bite my daughter. The day is numbered. It doesn't matter if it's by shark or by heart attack, slip on a banana peel. Your day is your day. And we look at it from the human side and go, oh my goodness, what an accident. That was God, that was the day for Victoria. That was her day. Do you understand? It would have happened some way. And your day, my day, has been numbered by God. And it's not so much the mode, or I should say the means. God uses any means because the day is numbered. Do you understand that? He presides over it all. Having understand that right now, keep this in mind. Everything comes through Jesus Christ, even the breath you're drawing right now. But here's the best thing of all. Look at it. Who has reconciled us to himself. He's reconciled us to himself, says the Bible, and we want to ask this question, how? Verse 18, the word reconciled means this, that he has, listen, supernaturally, unilaterally, has taken this upon himself. God did this to effect a mutual change. That's what that word means. Look, a mutual change, meaning God has come down and reached us. That's what this word implies. God has reached us, who wants to save us so that we might be saved. It's a mutual change, a mutual benefit. He loves, we need to be loved. God did this. He initiates it. This is an amazing thing. Listen, God initiates your salvation and mine. God does it. Isn't that amazing? He owes us nothing, but he initiates salvation. He's reconciled us. And notice what it says. He has brought about this recovery for us to himself. Do you see why we argue and say that God is a personal Savior? He's a personal God, that you should know Christ personally? Because he's saying, I want you to be reconciled, and I want you to be reconciled to me. This is not the God of religion, as we've been arguing. He's the God of relationship. And he's done it through Jesus Christ. This gets very exciting. The word reconciled, you cannot entertain the word reconciled without going to the word propitiation. I know it's a big word, but listen, it's in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And the Bible says, for he himself, that's Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. We need to dive into deeper water here right now. John is announcing that Jesus Christ is the propitiation which brings about reconciliation. The propitiation is a theological term which means this: God creates the answer to bring back to him satisfaction. Did you get that? Why are you guys so quiet? You okay? Somebody say amen anyway. Amen. There you are. Okay. God looks at you and I. What does the Bible say about us? We're lost. We have a sin nature. All of us know this if we're honest. God looks at you and he loves you. He wants you with him. But there's a big problem. God is absolutely holy. He's not a human. He's spirit. And he created us, the Bible says. And he wants you with him, but there's a big problem. There's a void. There's a Grand Canyon, and it's filled with sin, pride, self-righteousness, lust, anger, whatever it might be, selfishness, whatever, which has alienated us from God. The Bible says we're all born into this world lost and alienated from God. But God has provided a way. And to bridge that darkness, the Bible says that God sent his son to be our propitiation, meaning that Jesus Christ is the sole, listen, appointed agent to satisfy the righteous demands of God and his wrath. Jesus does at least both things. He satisfies the wrath of God in his holiness, and he provides for you and I salvation. How does this happen? As I said, God is holy. He hates sin and wickedness. Listen, he loves the human. He hates the sin. Now, don't think for a moment, oh, yeah, you know what? None of us are perfect. God loves us, but he hates the sin. We say that like it's some sort of a Band-Aid. It's not a Band-Aid. You know, the Bible says God does love us, but you know, the Bible also says he's angry with the wicked every day. Did you know that? Why is he like that? He's holy. He's pure. Did you know his wrath? By the way, when you read about his wrath in the Bible, it actually paints a picture of a sword of righteousness that's dripping. There's a sense where it's dripping heat or dripping righteousness because it's so blazingly pure. This is God. He can't change. He's God. So I don't like that. It doesn't matter. You're already here. It's too late. It's his universe. He's so pure and holy, but he's also absolute love. He cannot traffic in contradiction. So what happens? Sin's got to be paid for. Listen, we are unholy, so we look the other way when our kids or somebody does something wrong. We make excuses. He can't do that. He's pure. So what happens is Jesus Christ pays the price. He suffers what you and I were to suffer. Jesus was alienated at the cross so you and I would never have to be alienated. So look, you say, well, Jack, what are you making a big deal about this for? You just said that he died for the sins of the world. Yes, he died for all the sins of the world, but not all the world gets to enjoy it. Only those who receive the gift. Imagine, look at the world like this. The world is like a softball on fire, and there's people on there, and it's going across the universe, and God knows it's going to run out. It's the universe. It's limited. That ball's going to hit the wall someday, and God says, I don't want them on there to hit the wall. So God says like this, watch. He announces, hey, on the ball, you, step into my hand, get off the ball. It's going to hit the wall soon. Get off, jump into my hand, trust me. So we say, who are you? So he sends us a whole book to tell us about who he is. And then he says, come on, quick, you're getting closer. Now, jump. I don't know. Maybe there's other ways. Get in my hand, quick. And you debate. Have you ever seen people, like someone will say, duck, quick. And someone will say, why? Get down quick, quick, quick. Oh, how come? Who are you to tell me? And then, boom. Right? Look, best to duck. In this case, best to jump off the ball and into his hand. Because he knows what's coming. He loves you and he provides the way out. God initiates it. The ball is going to hit the wall because of sin. And he says, jump quick. If we hit the wall, it's our fault. We have nobody else to blame. He rescues us through Christ. The Bible says there's one go-between, one mediator between mankind and God. What does it say? That is the man, Christ Jesus. Think of it. He's bridging the holiness of God, and he's bringing the unrighteousness of man together at the cross. Jesus, watch, turns to mankind and says, I have paid the debt that you could never pay. Trust me. Then he turns and he says, Father, forgive them. On the count of my cross, my blood. The Father looks at the righteous provision of his Son, and instead of tabulating our sins, takes the righteousness of Christ, listen, and cancels sin. Watch. For who? The whole world, if they'll accept it. Each individual has to accept it because he's a personal Savior. So this way, Jesus did it all. Finished, perfect, complete. So what sends someone to hell? Oh man, I did this bad and this bad and this bad and this bad. That's not going to, listen. Your sins have been paid for at the cross. Your sins are not going to send you to hell. Accept the way out. Do you understand that? Accept the way out. Receive his free offering, his gift. It is absolutely awesome to think. The second point is this, verse 19. Everything comes back to God. Everything comes back to God. Verse 19 says, that is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing or no longer imputing their trespasses to them. Well, this is absolutely astonishing verse. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard people say, oh, nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus is God. No, nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus is deity. Have you noticed everyone who says that doesn't know anything about the Bible? This verse right here is a killer. I mean that in a good way. It's amazing. Why? Because God, this is the totality of God. God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the act of salvation for mankind, he did it in Christ. Meaning, are you listening? Meaning, God didn't send an angel. Gabriel or Michael did not die on the cross for our sins. Did you know that if Gabriel would have died on the cross for our sins, guess what? Who would it have saved? No one. Impossible.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Get a Life. It's a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 19, where Paul writes about how believers who trust the Messiah for their salvation are now reconciled to the Father. Get a Life is actually a multi-part series taken from Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, it is Monday, which means that you can catch another Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program. You see, every week there's a new Real Life with Jack Hibbs TV broadcast. Pastor Jack sits down with guests, speakers, and authors to talk about issues and current events facing the church as a whole, as well as individual believers. Things like same-sex marriage, abortion, evangelism, apologetics, the list goes on. It's a real interesting program. We think you're going to like it. So join us tonight and every Monday night for another Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.